I thought it would be just useful to have like a little quick walkthrough of the model just to remember where we are and what we are doing. So in order to look at the Ring of Terror and the Abyss, I think it's... if you should put some words on it, right? We all come up against situations in life where we have this feeling, if I take another step further, I'm going to fall into something that I really don't want to fall into. Whether it's like our kryptonite. It's the thing, we can feel it a mile away and we pull away from it. Whether it is... And sometimes we don't really have words for it. We don't really know what it is. But some examples when people feel into it and put words to it, they often say something like, if I go there, I'd feel I don't matter, right? I'm inconsequential. I don't matter at all. That is something that many people will pull away from. And they pull away from it not one step ahead, but like five steps before you're there. It's like, if this person says that, and then I will go to this place, and then that will trigger awareness or bring up the feeling that I don't matter. And so I'm not even going to see that person. Does that make sense? Like, we protect from it, against it from afar. Another thing which is similar is not to say that I don't matter, but to say nothing matters. So when we were talking about on the slide, it says this existential fear. The existentialists often say, talk about this, right? That there is no meaning in life. There is no meaning in life. You might cook up something, you might invent something and then believe in it. But the only reason you do that is to defend against the realization that the universe is inherently pointless, meaningless. Are you getting a sense of what we're talking about here? So I'm just curious, when you hear this, do any of you have a sense of what you call that place? Yes, Cheryl. Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, I do.
What do you call it?
I don't even know if I have a name for it. I just have that feeling.
You know what feeling I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. Good. Others? Yeah, Saul?
I mean, I do, but I don't quite know. I don't quite get how you would distinguish it just from apprehension or avoidance, or, you know, there's a lot in life that I avoid.
Yes.
Right. That I could associate with a lot of the work we've done over the years. Right.
Yeah.
So what, I guess my question is kind of like, how does one, I think I've got a sense of it, but how does one distinguish what you're talking about, which for me feels almost like a primal fear?
Yes.
It's not, yeah?
Yes.
It's like something much more, like if someone asked you to explain it, you would not be able to put a rational.
No.
It's just a sense of bad coming.
Yes.
If I think of universal trust, might be what I would think of as the counter to that, right? Like,
yeah,
sense of something bigger holding this. The opposite, I guess, might be this. Is that right?
That 100%. Nothing is holding it.
Yeah.
There is no God, right?
Yeah.
There is no fundamental love or kindness here.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And think about it, like, when we've been talking about this layered structure, right? You can say the aggression, the attacking aggression and the defensive aggression, we don't like those things. But if we had to choose between those and feeling the isolation, we pick the fight. And in the same way, the sense of being isolated and alone is better than feeling that we are not alone, but what is present hates us. Right. So in, throughout this layered model, every layer is something that we avoid. But the reason we keep it around is because that is something that, like, we try to avoid it, but it is also a mechanism of avoiding something even worse.
I struggle with the layered model, because it's quite text heavy and I can't absorb it. I'm quite visual. So when you talk about the layered model, you're not talking about reds, greens, all of that stuff that we've done in love.
No.
You're talking about that model that's in the PowerPoint.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, is there anything visual that could help me see those layers in a more visual way? Because I find the detail almost, I can't.
Let me just give you some, because it doesn't matter which layer is where. And I also don't think that the sequence of layers in the model is necessarily the same for everybody.
Yeah.
But the principle is good. For example, imagine that last time we asked the question, when do you hold on to woundedness? You've been hurt and it's been a while, but you still feel it very clearly. And maybe other people have moved on, but you have not. Now, do you like the sense of being wounded? No, you don't like the sense of being wounded. You would like not to have it, yet you hold on to it. That begs the question, why do you hold on to it? Many people, if they feel wounded by their parents, why do they hold on to the woundedness? Many times it's because if they let go of the woundedness, they have to face the fact that their parents were maybe assholes, and that they have been born into a situation and they have just been unlucky to get those parents. And that feeling that you have suffered all this pain for no reason other than, you know, the bad fortune of where you were born, that feels worse than just feeling wounded. And therefore you keep the woundedness around because it's a defense against the other realization.
Yeah. When you say that feels worse, the idea of that feels worse.
Yes.
The idea, isn't it? Because that's quite important. It's not the thing itself. Because, like, getting rid of the thing, I mean, in all honesty, if you let go of it, you'd probably feel a fuck of a lot better. But you have an idea, a concept, that letting go of it will drop you into some thing where you'll never resolve the issues, they'll never apologize, you'll never be taken seriously and be healed or something.
Yes.
So gives you something, gives you some hope, something.
Yeah.
So when you let go of that, it's like a hopelessness.
Yeah. But I mean, I can give you another example, because it's like the idea in a sense is real, right? You drop into the place where this idea lives, and that does feel horrible. That's not the end of the story, but you don't want to go there. It's the same. A more simple example would be, sometimes people are really upset and angry about something and they don't want to let go of the anger. Why? Do they like being upset and frustrated and angry? No. But the moment they even consider stopping being angry, they feel the sadness and the pain of what they were angry about. And therefore they say, no way I'm going to stop being angry. Because even though I don't like the anger and frustration, it's a hell of a lot better than dropping into the vulnerable and sad and painful place. And this is what I mean by the layered structure in of the personality. We all have layers, and then another layer that offends against it. And then this doesn't feel good, so we have another layer that defends against this one, and so on. Here, we just Imagine you peel those layers back. You go through the anger, you go through the pain, you go through the loneliness, you go through the hatred, you go through the wounds. What's the worst layer that you'll get to? That's the abyss. So that might be another way of saying it. Out of all the things you avoid in life, which one is the worst? So I'm curious, do anybody else have some sense of this? Yeah, Amanda.
Kind of, in, I don't know if I can relate to the chart. It's not pleasant at all, but and I feel like I'm going oscillating through those layers, like maybe up and down, not just, oh, I'm just going down, and it's like, and now I'm back up again, and now I'm going through that again. But, you know, to me, I don't know if it is the void and abyss because you're so trying to defend against it. But I associate it with depression, a feeling of depression, and also something else I've been feeling, like dread, absolute dread for no reason, you know, like. And it's really unpleasant.
Yes, the dread is part of the ring of terror. And especially when you say the dread for no reason, it's like it appears to be have no reason. But of course it does have a reason. And you might not know it, but if you should take a guess or just say the first words that come into your mind when you think, what is it dread of? What are the first things that come into your mind? An image, a word?
Usually I don't associate it with anything, but I think what I try not to think about is death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it sounds a bit morbid, but it's like dread of, oh, I could die, you know. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, but it's around some kind of, like, something's going to happen to me and I'm going to die.
Yes.
Although the dread itself can happen, like, by at night, and I'm sort of just trying to go to sleep and I'll get the dread.
Yes.
I'm thinking, oh, God, I can feel it in my body. Wonderful. And in the pit of my stomach, and I just can't do anything about it, and maybe I'll just fall asleep and it'll just go, and it does, and I do fall asleep.
Yes.
And just accept, okay, I'm feeling dread, I don't know why, I'm not going to fight it, it's just here. Yes. And it, you know, it happens every now and again, and I do wonder about it, like, what is this? Is it because I'm of a certain age, or is it hormonal, or, you know, I go through all these scenarios. Yes. To try and explain it to myself. Yeah.
No, excellent. That's exactly what we're going to look at today. So,
okay.
Good. So, yeah, Amanda, Ursula.
Okay. When I was young, about 20, I had this feeling when I felt I'm lost in this world where every time every really bad thing can happen to me, and there's nothing that cares for me. I'm totally lost. And,
wonderful. Yeah. That's exactly it, right? Completely lost, and there's nothing that cares for you. So, yeah, exactly. If you should put one word on it, what would it be?
Oh, lost by God.
Yeah.
Not one word. Yeah.
Good. Wonderful. Yeah. That's exactly it. Anyone else? Are you getting a sense of this? Yeah. Alex?
Did you mention pointlessness as part of that? Yeah, okay. But you know, what I don't quite understand is that I hear the description and I relate to experiencing those feelings, but I think the context in which I experience them seems a lot more focused. So like one that comes to mind is like multiple realizations I had in therapy that I cannot save my mom. Whatever the idea I had about needing to save her, every time I came up against this, like, I just can't. And then I drop into that place of, what's the point of me and what's the point of anything? And wonderful. There's nothing.
It's exactly it.
But it's very specific to, like, this feels like a lot more precise context than what you seem to be talking about.
It's because that is the context. Look, you do whatever you can to avoid it.
Yeah.
And that means normally you don't feel it because you're good at avoiding it. Every now and then, there are very specific contexts that pokes a hole in your defense. Like, for example, if your defense against feeling that there's no point of you, right, is to be useful, to do something for other people, save your mom. If then some annoying therapist comes along and helps you realize that it's not only that you can't do it because you don't try hard enough, but that it is not doable by anybody, that it's like a law of nature that this cannot be done.
An impossible project.
Yeah. It's impossible, yes. Now, can you see how, boom, you fall through? Because you cannot uphold the defense of you as useful, and therefore you fall through, and then you feel what you are avoiding, namely that you're pointless. There's no point to you.
Yeah, and the feeling of like, it's like a pointlessness and a drift, sort of helpless kind of, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Exactly. Like, you cannot do enough to do anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that you can't do enough, right? It's almost like you realize that the whole idea of being able to do anything is flawed. Even if you had all the resources, even in the entire world, you couldn't do it because it's like against a law of nature.
Can't be done, yeah.
Yeah. It's like saying, it's like if you're an alchemist and you want to turn base metals into gold. And somebody comes and tells you, well, those are different atoms. You can't turn one atom into another atom.
Yeah, it's like...
Exactly. Suddenly your whole... The whole project that kept you from feeling your own pointlessness is ripped away, and there it is. You're faced with the abyss. And think about whenever life somehow threatens you with, it can be work colleagues who say, I don't think you have the capacity to do this, or parents who say they're disappointed in you. Whenever there's a threat that points to maybe you can't be useful, right? That terrifies you. Why? Because you know you're heading, if you head longer down this path, you'll drop into the pit of pointlessness. And you're going to do anything to avoid going there, including working more than what is healthy. Let's put it this way. Right?
Yeah.
So disregarding your own health. You'd rather wreck your own health than feel this pointlessness.
Yeah, it's definitely like I'd rather anything, I guess.
Rather anything. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Familiar with that one.
Good. Does it make sense? Anybody else? Do you get a sense of where we are heading? Yeah.
I'm there right now.
Good. What's the word you would put on it?
Oh, I loved Amanda's description of dread, because that's what the sense.
Yes.
But the more you describe that, it's like you dread. Yeah, dread. They're the feelings because they're so unpleasant. But it is like, well, what was all that about then?
Exactly. What was all that about?
Yeah, the issue. It's like, well, you know, what was that 63 years of work about? Because I've ended up in my, when I'm in it, like, I've ended up with nothing.
Yes.
And for me, it's my same age old childhood pattern of rejection.
Yes, but before you sort of reduce it down to something you can comprehend, right?
Yeah.
It's good to just hang out with that feeling like it was all in vain.
Yeah, it's like, well, what was the point of that? And I'm always so disappointed in myself.
Yes.
You know, like, I worked really hard. Well, how did I end? It's the little girl that says, how did I end up here?
Exactly. And do you know what your defense against it is?
Get busy, you know, get on my bike, that sort of thing, or depression, really.
Yeah. I would guess humor as well.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, I'm very humorous.
Yeah, exactly. And so it is when everybody stops laughing and you stop laughing, right? Can you see how then the pointlessness of those 63 years are coming to sharp relief, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I've been deeply triggered by my eldest son, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, good. Anyone else? Yeah, Ananda.
I've a question. I was thinking about severe guilt, mm-hmm. that might cause the feeling. I haven't experienced, but I think it would lead me to this place.
Yes, if you feel severe guilt, right? You really did something wrong.
Not by intention, but it happened somehow.
But
not
it being happened aware somehow.
Of something like, yeah.
And you see, that was like, there's no excuse. It was just wrong. What would that plunge you into?
It's just horror. I don't know what you're up to.
No, but it's like, because I think this is a very, very common one, right? If you feel that severe guilt, like you did something bad, wrong, maybe it wasn't your intention, but it was still just bad. Then, and sometimes we hold on to the guilt, because at least when you feel guilty, you're not feeling what the realization that you did something wrong brings, right? What does it say about you if you're guilty of doing something wrong?
I have no right to be here.
There it is, right? You have no right to be here. You're here, but you don't really have the right. Right. Can you get a sense of that place is something that you really avoid? Yeah. Good. So I'm curious, Rachel, do you also have a sense of what we're talking about?
I think so. I'm thinking that the fear of death is one that I have, a big one. And meaningless. I feel like it's all layers, like the fear of death is underneath the meaningless, because there'd be less fear of death if there was meaning. I don't know which way that layer goes. And then of not being useful.
No,
as a,
yeah.
um, But I don't know if they're just layers. Which one is the particular one we're looking at? I don't know. I think fear of death, maybe.
Yeah. Good. So, and with fear of death, it's often good to translate it into, like, what is it you... Like, what is it that you would feel if you die, right? If, like, what is it would you feel that then you've lost your chance to be useful? Is it, like, what is it, what's bad about it?
No, just that's it, and I don't actually know. There's part of me saying that what if I die and I find that my parents are right about religion and I've kind of fucked it all up.
Wonderful. Yes, exactly. No, wonderful. Because many people can relate to the fear of death, but often if you ask people, what is the fear about? What do you think will happen? What do you think will fear? You'll feel, and different answers come up.
Yeah. I mean, if death is just non-existent, it's like, what is there to fear? It's just the idea of not existing.
Exactly, but sometimes it's interesting because the death is non-existent, so there's nothing to fear. That's a very intellectual standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I'm now getting a feeling that when I was growing up, I was kind of the ignored child, and it's like maybe it's like the ultimate.
Yes, but
it's almost like I didn't really exist as a child. I was just kind of like there but not existing, so maybe that's like the ultimate not existing.
exactly being completely ignored, nobody cares, right? Nobody pays attention to you.
Be forgotten straight away.
exactly, be forgotten. Wonderful. So you're getting a sense of this, right? It's like when we fear death, it's because we project something onto death. And we project something onto death that we've already experienced. And then we think death is going to be like that. And that's why we fear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Are you ready for an inquiry? Good. So let me just...